I'll tell you something that you need to be careful with. I went to an establishment and bought this item. I never bought the item before, so it felt light, but I just thought that what was in it was lighter than normal, than you normally would expect. And when I got home and opened the box, there was no item in it. It was just the instructions.
Oh my God.
So I then said, well, this is interesting, because while I have the receipt, I'm in a situation now where when I take this box back to them and I say to them, but there's no item in it, they're likely to suspect that I might have taken the item out and now trying to pull a fast one.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out that they conceded that they keep the boxes there, and the cashier should really have drawn to my attention that I needed to go somewhere else to get the item and have it placed in the box after I had made the purchase.
Mm-hmm.
But I said to myself, suppose I had lived so far away, St. Lucie or East Point in St. Philip or someplace like that, Bottom Bay, any of them places. So, and I had gotten home and then realized that what was disappointing to me was that in trying to call the establishment to tell them, first of all, that I had a problem, I couldn't get through at all. Not a soul was answering the phone. So I had absolutely no alternative but to pick up myself and go there. No, that's the kind of stuff that happens. And it can frustrate people and disappoint you. So
yeah,
I understand.
All these things happen because at the time I was working for my government. And the thing about it is I had to go to this particular agency to take inventories on these telephones. So they had these phones in the cages and things. So for a man tell the man to open the cage. And when the man did open the cage, right? A man tell me and get these things a little key, right? And when I get the thing a key, I see some of the things falling down. I said, well, they shouldn't be falling down. There are some empty boxes in there and no phones was in them. So if I didn't give it a key, I would have been saying there were X amount in the inventory, when in truth and in fact, there were X amount of boxes, right, and X amount of phones, and then it would be at fault. So the thing about it is sometimes you just got to do your checks and balances and stuff. But my reason for calling you is that I call a credit union, and they're having a meeting tomorrow, right? And I asked them if I could collect my package today. If I can't collect my package today, if I collect it after the meeting, the AGM, the lady said to me, no, I can't collect it. I mean, I want to know what is going on, you understand? At the AGM, after the AGM, the report is supposed to be free. Therefore, you can collect, etc. So those things cannot be fair. We have rights. Those that are going to the meeting, you understand, will have their packages, and those who can't go to the meeting should also be able to get their packages, even if it is after the meeting
if you are asserting that you have rights, to whom are you going to assert that?
The thing about it is I will got to write a letter to the board, the board, because it's not fair, because they got bylaws which govern these things, you know what I mean? Even if I ain't going, and well, I don't think they got proxy that you can get somebody to vote for you. The voting part really ain't bother me, but I want to know how much delinquent customers they have, etc. Certain things that I want to do to analyze and work out, right? So she shouldn't be telling me that. That is not right. That's why I called, because I told her that I'm going to call the calling program, because, I mean, there should be the reports should be available after the meeting, etc. She can't tell me that I won't be able to get any. Those things aren't right. And I'm a member. She making sport down there. Call and write a letter to the board.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon.
Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I was just calling to give a little information on the Fair Trading Commission.
Yes.
So I had a situation recently, and I was very pleased. I tried to drive up to the office, but they said they weren't taking walk-ins. You needed to have an appointment. But the lady at the front suggested that I leave my name and number, and the officer called me almost immediately. and dealt with the incident the same day.
Yes.
So all is lost. So she can still try to call the fair trading, let them have the story, and they perchance will contact the store.
What was your situation?
My goddaughter had signed up for a program, a course pre-COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And when, so the course was $600, and then when it was time for the course to start post-COVID, well, not really post-COVID, but when things reopened, they tried to change the price, and she had already paid in full. So they increased the price by $150.
Wow.
And maintained that didn't make sense to me. You had already had what I considered a contract. You said it was $600. You paid $600, and the only reason that the course didn't go on at the time was because of COVID. So you couldn't now be saying it was $750. So before I went and spoke to the tutor, I went to Fair Trading, and by the time I got down to the tutor, you know, which was maybe half an hour,
mm-hmm.
she'd already been on the case, and I explained to the tutor that I went to Fair Trading, and my understanding is that what you're saying can't hold, and it was sorted out immediately.
Okay, well, that's so, very good news, because we need more of that kind of prompt intervention to protect members of the public, and especially in this period here where COVID has really affected many companies. Some people will react in very honest ways, and others are less than honest. Huh? So,
okay.
I mean, sometimes it's not the person at the very top of an organization, but the supervisor or somebody else who has their own motive for behaving in a particular way. So if we are able to assess those things promptly and take action, then I would recommend that the person that called us earlier perhaps should take a leaf out of your book and call the Fair Trading Commission to see what they can do.
I think it's worth a call. It's worth a call. There's no harm in calling. She may get get results right away, but there's no harm in calling. I think it's important for the Fair Trading Commission to understand what's happening out there too. So after my incident, the officer called me back.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted additional information because her concern was whether this was happening to other students who did not call. So I think they're doing a great job. So give them a chance, and they might be able to do something useful for her.
Well, thanks for sharing your experience. This person says that they bought an appliance. They've called the name of the company that they bought it from less than three years ago. The appliance is rusting from the photograph that they have shown us. And they say that from day one, it started to rust. They drew it to the attention of the company, and they were told that they had no one to repair it. They had paid about $4,000 for this particular item, and they're sure that it wasn't exposed to the elements. The writer says, I got so frustrated, I didn't even fix it myself. These hire purchase agencies are something else. Today, this is the condition it is in. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Here's some more praise for the Fair Trading Commission. This person says that they do a great job. They had two situations where the Fair Trading Commission did a good job. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Mohammed Nasser.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
I am well.
Good. I call you today because I'm trying to see if I can get some assistance to stop these banks from treating our people the way that they're treating.
Assistance? How you propose to deal with that?
I saw, I don't know the guy right, obviously, but I saw a young man. He had his passport. He had his ID card. And he phoned about 25 people trying to get a bank. This is no. Not his check, a check that he received from people that he did work for. I was there. He obviously thought I was there. And I said to myself, look at this fool. Here's a young black man about to move himself forward. I could see he got two or three people because I work out from where he's getting on, where he's acting, he got people to pay. Somebody pay him a check. He's gone to the bank to get his money on off the payroll account, and the bank is saying, no, if you don't have an account there, he will not be he cannot get the check cashed. So I want to ask the question. Our Prime Minister is doing her best to improve the country when it comes to getting money to keep running the country and so on. Don't you think it's time enough that the leader of this country have a meeting with banks and let them understand that they are hurting small and medium-sized people badly in business? Because I pay a man for his paper he do for me. Not me, no, I'm talking about FA Red, if it's you, anybody. The guy gone to the bank to collect his money that he worked hard for a bank to say, yeah, money is in here, but we ain't giving you any money because you don't have an account with us. What do you think? You don't think the government going to do something about this, Mr. Ellis?
Well, I acknowledge that there are a lot of people who are grossly inconvenienced by this policy. I first have to ask the question, though, what has caused the banks to do this? I don't know. And I need to hear their side of this. I mean, the banks are notorious for sitting down and keeping quiet when people are raising questions about what they're doing. And I must confess that in many instances, banks come across as though they really don't care whether people criticize them or not. But, I mean, one has to get an understanding of why they would do this. Because we are fully cognizant of the impact that it is having on people who need to get their checks cashed. But what has gone wrong? Why would they have moved in this direction? I have not had an answer to that.
Mr. Ellis, I can guarantee you that you know, and I know, and everybody in Barbados know, the moment the government, the central bank, moved the controls from the banks started to take total advantage of our people. The moment that they did it. And
well, there's a view that they were taking advantage of people before that.
But they're doing it worse now. I'm glad to hear you say that. But they're doing it worse now.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, the only thing you are telling me here is that you have to depend upon the Prime Minister to intervene. You know, it's one thing for us to talk about what is wrong, but we need to explore all the options to exert some kind of pressure on the commercial banks if we think that they are indulging in a practice that is hurting too many people. I mean, to ask a person to actually open an account, or they may not even be asking the person to open an account. Because,
can't get open.
Pardon?
The banks don't even want to open accounts.
Right, so they may just tell you it's tough luck that you don't have an account here, and therefore this check cannot be cashed. So what does that mean now? You have to go back to the person who gave you the check and tell them, well, the bank isn't giving me any money, you need to give me cash.
You're right.
Or you alternatively, wherever I bank, you got to transfer the money from your account at X bank to my account at Y bank.
So you can do that every day? Suppose there's six banks, and each bank you are checks receiving from, you got open six accounts?
Look, I agree on the need to try to find a solution to this. In this instance, the commercial banks don't look too good. And they need to recognize that there's got to be some explanation to the public. If you're going to do that, what they often do is that they introduce these things and people only realize that they've been introduced when they go to the bank. You know, there's no promotion of the change, no signaling of anything. And at the end of the day, it makes the banks look as though they are insensitive. So,
but they don't care, Mr. Ellis.
Well, I don't know.
You see,
they may care, but might not know how to show that they care. Well, the commercial banks long time ago started to tell small players that they don't need their accounts. You know, that they were too expensive to work with.
I don't need you. And I want to say this, that all governments are dictators, all. And the government of Barbados will have to tell these banks that what they're doing is wrong.
The commercial banks have also had to take some blows from government because of policy. The government is fully conscious of the fact that if you push them too far, they could leave you in a deeper financial hole. So, the commercial banks are central to the whole concept of confidence in the economy too, you know.
Yeah, I know, but listen, a few banks in Barbados could leave, and people should withdraw their accounts from some of these banks and shut them down.
All right, then.
Must demonstrate that you
really all right, then. It is all well and good for you to talk, but the banks also pay taxes. The banks also employ people, and it is all well and good to talk about shutting down. But when the fallout comes, I'm sure you're not going to be in any position to employ any of those people.
Mr. Johnson, listen.
I hear you.
I'm not calling Mr. Johnson for a couple of weeks as regulars before God on water, keep heat on him. But let me tell you, by the way.
You think that you're going to substitute me for Mr. Johnson?
You know a gentleman by the name of Andy Toppin?
Yeah, you propose to substitute me for Mr. Thompson, Mr. Johnson, because you're calling him for a couple of weeks.
I respect all your
anyhow, I got it right.
Mr. Andy Toppin?
Yes.
Right, he just opened a beautiful restaurant. I hope you will come here and see one.
No, we ain't here advertised right now, so let me move on. Thank you very much. I know Mr. Toppin very well, but I am here to follow rules and procedures. I can't do as I like here. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Yes, good day, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, how are you?
I am good.
Well, I haven't spoken to you for quite a while, but it's refreshing to hear you again.
See, I'm here.
Yeah, what I called about, well, let's go to last year. I paid my insurance and got the necessary papers from them and went over to the licensing authority, and not licensing authority, revenue authority. I got the sticker for the number plate. I did pay the insurance. It was expired in August. I went to pay just before, and then on my way over there, I was told by my daughter, well, you can't go over there, Brian. They're not issuing the stickers. So yeah, I was there then, and I was trying to find out exactly where you can get these stickers from. Then I saw in the last Sunday Sun, they give you a rundown where the insurance would inform the licensing, the bra will inform the licensing authority who would send the sticker to the post office, and they would deliver it home to you. Hearing that, I called my insurance to verify if that was what is the procedure now. But I was told that they don't know what I'm talking about because they're not privy to that information. So I'm wondering now with the sticker. I have last year's sticker on. It was out, as I told you, 31st of July would have been the last.
I understand there's a shortage of those. First of all, I heard there was a shortage of the stickers because of COVID. Then I heard that there was a toss-up between the BRA, or Licensing Authority, and the insurance companies as to who is supposed to issue the sticker. The first and the last sticker I got it from the BRA. I didn't get it from the insurance company. I don't recall getting it from the insurance company. You had to go to the BRA, and they were the ones who issued it once you show them proof of your having paid your insurance.
Yes.
All right? But there's been some problem there. They need to clarify it for you. In the meantime, I assume that the police would be aware of the problem and wouldn't be reporting people because they don't have a sticker, because at least you will be able to prove that you've paid your insurance.
By showing them what the your documents from
yes,
the insurance
Yes, I would recommend strongly that you travel with those.
It's a matter of discretion on the part of the police too.
Well, discretion, to me it don't make sense. If you have paid your insurance and you have the documentation to prove it, and there's a toss-up going on between the BRA and the insurance companies on the sticker, what folly will it be for the police to report people for that?
You know, but you never know.
That to me wouldn't make sense. Some people say they're getting their sticker in the mail. Well, if they have resolved the problem, you will most likely have to wait and get yours in the mail.
Yeah, I will my way.
Some people are getting theirs there. Okay.
But there's another point I want to put over to thing, and I hope someone in authority at the Barbados Licensing Authority and so on there listening. Now, in the event of an accident, the person who, suppose somebody rear end you, that person is deemed to be wrong. And to get your car now repaired, that person will have to report to their insurance company. But people are hitting you and they're not reporting to their insurance company. They're not going. It happened to me and I had, hell, up to now I got my car repaired yet. My man won't go to the his insurance company and report. I went to them and they told me, I happened to find who he was insured with. And the agent at his insurance company told me that we don't know anything about it. He didn't come and report it. But what I'm saying, I'm wondering if it should be made law that all parties involved in an accident report to their insurance company within a certain period, probably 7 days. Just the same way that the authorities can make laws to govern things, seatbelt laws, noise abatement laws, various laws. That should be a law where all parties involved in an accident should have to report to their insurance company within at least 7 days.
Okay.
I don't know what you think
about
that.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for calling. This person has shed, or sought to shed some light on the problem of the commercial banks not cashing checks that are issued by other banks or should come through other banks. The issue raised by Mr. Nasser is due to AML compliance issues where the bank has taken a decision not to do business with parties with whom they don't have a relationship. All persons need to use the bank for transfers. Well, I don't understand what point they were making there. Says where there is no relationship, no AML due diligence would have been done on the non-client presenting the check. If the international banks all leave, how will we be able to make foreign exchange payments, given the issues that local and regional banks have with their correspondent banking relationships? So the main point he's making is that they've made a decision because of these compliance issues. They think that they're better protected by going in this direction of saying, well, if you don't bank with us, you are unable to cash your check with us because you do not have an account here. I don't necessarily think that they're telling everybody that the only way you can get this money is to open an account, because they have already signaled that they don't want poor people to come to do no banking with them and stuff like that, open any account, because it costs too much. As a matter of fact, they don't only tell that to poor people. It seems as though people at a different level are also getting that kind of message. So this is a problem which, as explained by the writer, is caused by compliance issues. So what can be done about this particular one? Because it really is a difficult situation for many people out there who provide services. Sometimes you have these small business people who got 5 and 6 people to pay, get a check. When they go to the bank, they're told, but you can't cash this check here, because you're not a client of ours. Down to brass tacks, hello? And therein lies the reason why it is always important to ask the question why. Before you come to the conclusion that somebody is being unfair and bad behavior and stuff, you gotta ask what has caused the person to do what they have done, so that you can then put in perspective, you know, how are you going to treat this information? Are you going to condemn them? Are you going to say, well, you know, I appreciate and understand the difficulties you face? It is better to do that. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello. Hi, David.
Yes, Wesley. What's going on?
I got my big chung man, boy. Big chung man.
All right.
Anyhow, David.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that was Mr. Nasser. I mean, you know. I don't think that you understand Mr. Nasser, right? Clearly.
Why is that?
Let me point out to you a personal exercise I had with one of them branches, okay? And you got to put the thing in perspective. David is like you, David Ellis. I come and I cut your lawn over a period of time and you decide to pay me every any month. You pay me from a checkbook, David. Send me to your bank where your money is. Your money is in that bank. The check is a way of convenience for you so that you wouldn't got to go in the bank to withdraw money to bring to give me. So your money is already in the bank, you know, and you have a checkbook that you bought that same bank issue you with, you know, so that you could do your
So I'm a client. I'm a client with the same.
Don't crisscross me, David.
I'm asking a question, man. Listen.
I don't want to lose my
Excuse me. I'm asking a question for clarification.
Yeah.
So you're saying that the person who is seeking to cash the check also is a client of the bank?
I am saying it don't have to be way it should be. All that person need is two pieces of ID. They don't have to have an account. Where you get that from?
The bank is saying so.
Clear identification, David.
No, but the bank is saying so.
Why do you have to get an account with your bank?
That's what the bank is saying.
But why it should be that way?
Because...
And you can pull for that? As a leader in this country, because you're the leader, David. And that
what were you talking before? I am here trying my best.
Can you mouth at it?
I skin my mouth at anything. What foolishness kept right back? Because you sometimes believe that you've got some right of way in terms of coming here and talking as you like. There is nothing that I have said so far. I have said nothing so far that says I am supportive of anything of the sort. On the contrary, but what I've also said is that I want to understand why before I get there. And somebody has just sent information here saying that it has to do with what they call compliance issues. The compliance issue, the banks have taken the decision not to do business with parties with whom they do not have a relationship because of the compliance issues. That's the information that has been put before us. That is not to laugh at anything.
David, is it fair to you now? Is it fair to you that you buy a bank book, a 50-page bank book, right? Issue me or issue somebody with a check to go into your bank where your money is held, right? To get the exchange from that check to cash. It is fair to you. Or
Wesley, I don't understand why you are so worked up.
You don't understand it.
Because from the very beginning of the discussion, we recognize that this is onerous on a number of people.
So the
question that we have to ask is, what are the standards? Who is applying these standards? I bet you the fellow said, the person who sent the information said AML standards. These are the international standards that are being applied. And therefore, the question is, what leeway do we have? What can we do to try to ease that pressure? Does that require not only action on the part of the commercial banks in the country, but will it also require governmental action so that we can ease this pressure on these little people?
David?
Yeah, so what happened to you, though? You said there was a personal situation.
I had the problem just a few weeks ago where this person that I do business with got over $2 million in our bank. Right?
And what happened? You didn't get the money? You got the money? You got the money?
I had to carry back the check to the person and said, man, let them in change that for me because I ain't got no account there.
Okay.
And the person then had to do what they didn't want to do in the first place. Go and line up. Put on a mask, line up, and we had to go in the bank.
Yes.
David, I am saying to you.
But they could also have transferred the money to you electronically.
How do you know that I got an account?
Well, that means that...
That cutting lawns and all sort of things, you think that they got an account anyway?
Well, I think you have to live with the world as it is. You know there are AML is anti-money laundering. And you know that there are a lot of changes that have been introduced that we have had to live with because they're not introduced by Barbadians, you know. They are introduced by the people with whom we do business abroad. All the information that you got to get to the bank now if you are doing a transaction and all.
Information I got to get to the bank when they want to cash a check and got my two pieces of ID and got a check. Well,
you hard headed though. Jeez, so great. I can't imagine. Listen, talk your talk and let me listen to you because you in one of them moods today.
Where
have I carried you?
But you was sides with corporate Barbados. I ain't got nothing.
But what have I done to side with corporate Barbados?
Because that's the way how you behave, David.
So you come in here, this is like premeditated murder. You come in here with a preconceived notion and you start to attack me irrespective of what I've said.
David, you're going to knock up your quick, man.
Oh, well, I hope you understand that we have exposed your whole game today. Go have a wonderful afternoon, man.
I am saying to you, David.
I have heard you already, man. I have heard all that you have said. Hearing more of you ain't gonna make you more relevant, ain't gonna make you more accurate, and ain't gonna make nobody listen to you any further. Down to brass tacks, somebody says they've just come from standing at the bus stop outside the QEH and the trees weren't trimming. They almost missed their minivan because they couldn't see properly, especially with the tap buses. So they're really asking somebody associated with the Queen Elizabeth Hospital to look into that matter for them. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air. Yes, sir.
It's a simple answer to the bank situation here.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at three banks before while I was living overseas, and I have an understanding of the reasons why the banks here are operating on that level. A few years ago, Wells Fargo's CEO was grilled by the Financial Services Committee in the United States because they were cleverly establishing accounts using their own clients' information to establish accounts cleverly, and it gained them a lot of wealth. So the simple answer to that is that the more accounts a bank has, the more valuable the bank is. You understand? So if they could get you to open up an account, that increases the value of the banking assets. I mean, it's as simple as that.
But that's not the way that they operate here.
That's not the way that they operate here. They tell you that you have to open an account. That's what they tell you.
Then no, they tell you ain't got an account. Did they tell you have to open one?
Yes, they do. It has happened to me more than once in this country.
Okay, but I know we had the contrary occurring here, where many people were told that it was too expensive to service their accounts. And essentially, the banks are treating people as though they don't really need the money.
You see, Scotiabank, I went to Scotiabank to do business at Scotiabank one time. And they told me I had to open up an account there because I don't have an account there. The check belonged to them, but I didn't have an account there. And they said to me, you have to open an account here in order for us to cash this check. I just told you that I worked at three banks before, and that is the reason for it. The more accounts a bank has, the more valuable the bank and its banking assets are. That is simple business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I do not think that they should be forcing you. All the more reason why I strongly advocate the reestablishment of a national bank for Barbados. It is needed. And now we see how important it is in the newspapers. For the past 2 weeks, there's a gentleman who has been sending in letters to the editor speaking about the need to reestablish our national bank. It is time for us to stop playing around this issue and demand from the individuals that we elect into office. We're not asking you guys this anymore because we put you there. You ask us a question and we put you there. Now we're telling you what our interest is now. We need to reestablish another national bank. And
well, I heard the Prime Minister speak about that, but I don't believe it is going to be driven by government. The government will facilitate, but I think what I got was a hint of trying to get the private sector to spearhead that.
But you know, Mr. Ellis, when the Barbados National Bank shares and so on was offered to the public, right? That was, to me, that was kind of deceptive because the bank had already belonged to the people. It didn't belong to any individual. It belonged to the state, the people. I know you want to offer me my own business. You want to sell me my own business. That is so deceptive. I couldn't understand how Barbadians fell for that. I was living overseas at the time. But when I heard, I was like, you want to sell me my own business? The bank belonged to the country already, which is us. So what is it that you could be offering me? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Same situation with ICBL. Now, this new major shareholder, young man from Canada who lives here, what did he say in the papers the other day? Barbadians are too slow. We should be owning what belonged to us. That's what he said. But he's now in possession of shares of a former entity that Barbados had owned. That too should not have been sold. An insurance company is so important, one like ICBL, which would insure other insurance companies in this company, all types of projects that ICBL will be insuring in this country. All of that is money that goes towards the actual state and not an individual's pocket. So I hope that Barbadians are listening. We need to demand. We're not asking. We need to demand the reestablishment of a national bank and a national security and a national insurance corporation. That's what we need.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Down to Brastat.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Ellis.
Hi.
I'm calling in connection with this bank problem.
Mm-hmm.
I do business with my sister that lives overseas. Her account is here in a Barbados bank. Her checkbook goes to her. The checks come down in my name to cash out the bank. I used to get it done with two forms of ID. 3 weeks ago, you know, COVID set back everything. 3 weeks ago, checks came in. I carried it to a particular branch. Young lady, you have an account here? I say, I do not have an account at no bank. Let me can't change your check. Just like that. I held my hand for my two forms of ID and the check. The persons behind me started the quarter. Said, this is unfair, though. That lady is a pensioner. I walked right out of the bank, went back home, and I decided to go to the credit union now. I was told by the credit union that as long as it has a foreign address, they cannot change it because their bank, which is another bank, it will hold it for 30 days. Then the person got to send some all kind of things in order for them to give a release to change the check. I said, okay. I left and went back now to the head branch of the first bank. Met a guy. I asked him the criteria for opening a bank account. He did tell me. I said, yes, I have that in order. I said to him, the reason why I asked you is because I have this check belong to your bank, and I'm supposed to fix business by a certain time as per usual. We can't change it. Check to your credit union. Mr. Ellis, tell me something. You're a member of credit union? I said, yes, I am. Well, check to your credit union. I said, but this check belongs to your bank. So why should I have to take it to the credit union? Well, I can't help you. Mr. Ellis, there's the way. That is not the way. I was so annoyed and so vexed. The security guard wasn't even at the door to open the door. I stood up, I looked, or you didn't see where she disappeared. I was so mad, I get an instant headache. Because, I mean, he could have explained it. He could have said, well, if you don't have an account here, you may have to open an account and let the check go on to the account at least for 5 working days, and then you could do what you have to do. Nothing, sir. So what I did, I stood up at the door a few seconds, and I didn't see anybody. I opened the door, a woman shows up. Wait, you're going to break off the people door? I said, lady, you don't know how mad I am. Mr. Ellis, this is not fair. The lady money goes into that bank every month from here, from government.
You know, ma'am, the problem that we face with the commercial banks is that we sit down here, we identify so many issues that have arisen over time.
Mm-hmm.
and nothing has really changed.
Exactly.
And it looks as though the people that we, first of all, we as consumers are kind of powerless, or behave as though we are powerless. Then we look to the central bank, and they only can exercise moral suasion. The politicians, they too operate as though their hands are tied. And we are here feeling as though we are victims of this system.
Yeah.
And the question that we must ask is, how can we get some improvement here? What can we do? We are powerless.
It is true. And you know the hurtful part? You have people that work for these individuals, that you have to pay them the money that did the work. And you are powerless because the amount of money that I had to pay out, I could not pay out of my pocket, not out of my account. So they're going to tell me now I will have to spend back the check. You mean person that was dealing with all of these years and the money in the bank? This is ridiculous. They should be able to do something
about that. This person says here that the international AML anti-money laundering banking regulations are very stringent.
I understand
it
that.
Is now not possible in some major U.S. banks to make a deposit into someone's account, however small the amount may be. You can only deposit funds into your own account. Mm-hmm. I had to jump through hoops recently to get a relative to deposit $40 to my checking account. Bank, BOA meaning Bank of America, I believe.
Yes, I understand.
So, you know, we have... The first order of business, though, with the local banking community is information and how the information is relayed to customers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they need to do more in trying to send out information via internet and snail mail and that sort of thing. But there are a lot of people these days who have internet services and stuff and email addresses and can get that information. But all too often, people seem to be caught when they actually go to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm the person issuing you the check,
mm-hmm.
then I, as the issuer, should be aware
mm-hmm.
of this regulation or this rule. So mm-hmm. that when I write the check and I give it to you, mm-hmm. then I should be able to say to you there's a distinct possibility that you may not get this thing done. Or I will not write the check. What I will do is look for an alternative means of trying to get the money in your hand.
Yes, but what I'm saying to you, we understand all of that. But these checks were mailed and caught in the mail during COVID.
Right, yes. Yes, quite a lot of that happened.
But that is the problem where that is concerned. So I had then to explain to the party certain things. Now they are telling me I will have... The people here are telling me we have to send back the checks up to Canada. For what reason? They're their checks. And I think something needs to be done. Everybody is not stupid. And some of the persons that are working in these banking institutions, they need a lot to be heard. Their manners is concerned.
That's a national problem. That's not just a banking problem.
I agree, but you mean that abrupt?
This is a national issue. I want to thank you all very much for staying with me during today's edition of the program, Dr. Brass Stacks. Thanks to the technical operator and producer, Michelle Brathwaite. Hope you have a really great afternoon and a wonderful weekend. Goodbye.